Tuesday, the 25th of August. There are mornings where the interesting thing is a model, and there are mornings where the models barely come up at all. This is the second kind. Everything I read overnight sits underneath the models, in the silicon and the wiring and the paperwork, and every one of the four stories turns out to be about the same uncomfortable question. Top off your cup and let us get into them. First up, Ukrainian forensic examiners have been taking apart a drone that Russia recently tested near Zaporizhia, and inside it they found an NVIDIA Jetson Orin. If you have not handled one, the Jetson Orin is a small embedded computer, roughly the size of a credit card, drawing a few tens of watts, with an Ampere-class graphics processor and dedicated deep learning accelerators on the same module. It is designed for civilian work. It goes into warehouse robots, into machine vision inspection rigs, into university labs, into hobby projects. NVIDIA's position, reported by the New York Times, is that it does not sell these devices in Russia. That is almost certainly true, and it is also almost entirely beside the point, because the module is widely available on resale markets, and when it is purchased that way, it is, in the paper's phrase, virtually impossible to track. There is no activation handshake. There is no serial registry. Once a board sits in a reseller's inventory in a third country, the chain of custody simply stops. Here is why the part matters so much more than its price. Autonomy is what makes one of these drones survive electronic warfare. A first-person view drone flown by a human operator dies the moment its video link is jammed. A drone carrying a vision model that has already locked its target can finish the run with no link at all. And the compute you need for that is small. A compact detector plus a tracker running at video frame rates on the terminal phase of a flight that lasts a couple of minutes. That is, tens of trillions of operations per second, which is nothing. It is a rounding error against a single data center accelerator. What that inversion is the whole story. Export control on advanced compute was designed around clusters, around training hardware, where the buyers are few, the shipments are enormous, and the end user is a company with a name and an address. That regime is enforceable, a regime aimed at a cheap embedded module that ships in the millions through General Electronics distribution is enforceable only at the distributor, and resale markets root around distributors by construction. If you are tracking the policy argument about whether edge inference silicon belongs inside the same control framework as training silicon, this is now the sharpest piece of evidence anyone has. Moving on to our second story, which is a very different kind of control problem. Business Insider reported over the weekend, and TechCrunch followed, that Hugging Face has been approached about a sale at a valuation of $13 billion or more, and has been talking to banks to help it evaluate bids. No buyer has been named. No deal has been reached. For reference, the last priced round was in 2023 at $4.5 billion post-money, led by Salesforce Ventures with Alphabet, GV, and IBM Ventures alongside. What makes this worth your attention is not the multiple. It is what Hugging Face actually is at this point. The hub is the default distribution layer for open weights. It is where models get published, versioned, downloaded, and benchmarked. It is where a very large fraction of the reproducibility surface of open research physically lives. Transformers, datasets, the parameter-efficient fine-tuning libraries, the inference endpoints, all of that sits on top, which means the company is much closer to being a package registry for machine learning than to being a model lab. And registries have always been treated as neutral ground. Neutrality is exactly what a sale puts in question, particularly if the buyer also ships models or a cloud. The timing is not accidental either. TechCrunch places the approach inside a broader run on core AI infrastructure and points at Stripe buying OpenRouter for $7 billion as the obvious comparable. OpenRouter is the routing and billing layer in front of hosted model interfaces. The Hugging Face is the distribution and discovery layer in front of open weights. Both are choke points sitting between a developer and a model. Both monetize indirectly, and both suddenly have strategic value now that the number of models you might plausibly call has stopped being small. The interesting tension is governance rather than price. The reporting describes real internal doubt about whether a sale happens at all, grounded in the founder's sense of obligation to the community that built the hub's value in the first place. And that contribution is entirely non-contractual. Or researchers upload weights because the hub is neutral and free. Nothing binds them to stay if it stops being either. Somebody paying $13 billion would be buying network effects that can walk third up, and staying on the theme of who controls the layer underneath, NVIDIA used hot chips this week to announce that its Vera Rubin rack scale system, Grok 3 LPX, is in full production, and to recenter the entire Vera Rubin line on agentic inference rather than on training throughput. The headline figure comes from an artificial analysis benchmark running Gemma 4 at 31 billion parameters, 3,400 output tokens per second at 100,000 token context, which NVIDIA claims is four times the nearest alternative platform. The choice of a long context measurement is the announcement. NVIDIA cites data from OpenRouter, showing that agentic workloads burn roughly 15 times more tokens than a simple chat request, because every tool call, every sub-agent result, every replanning step accumulates into the input of the next step. So long context decode throughput, not peak floating point, is what actually sets the economics of running an agent fleet. A companion post makes the same argument in power terms, claiming up to 30 times more work per watt on agentic workloads against the prior generation, which matters because power, not silicon supply, is now the binding constraint on most new capacity. But the piece I would spend time on is NVLink Fusion. That is the program that lets a third party's custom accelerator attach to NVIDIA's rack fabric, its scale up and scale out networking, and its production software stack. The pitch is that if you are a hyperscaler building your own chip, the chip is the easy part. What is hard is rack architecture, a coherent interconnect, a supplier ecosystem, and mature factory software. And Fusion offers to rent you all of it. Custom silicon has been the main structural threat to NVIDIA's position for years. Fusion is an attempt to convert would-be competitors into tenants and to move the defensible layer off the accelerator die and onto the rack and the network, which is a much harder thing to reproduce. And the partner list reads like commitments rather than roadmap. SpaceX AI on Vera Central processors, CoreWeave running the multiplane networking in production, Nebius as the first cloud on Grok 3 LPX, and for our fourth and final story today, control of a rather different kind. Shield AI, Sidaro, and Novi Space announced the first on-orbit run of Shield AI's Hivemind autonomy pilot, executing onboard a Novi satellite in low Earth orbit. It is both the highest and the longest duration Hivemind deployment so far, and it moves the stack off aircraft and onto a spacecraft. The satellite acted as leader of a six-satellite constellation, itself plus five simulated ones, with Hivemind working alongside Sidaro's autonomy framework for the edge to balance imaging tasking against spacecraft health, battery state of charge and pointing. Over a 24-hour window, the spacecraft executed 189 commands that Hivemind generated and the framework approved. The multi-objective scheduling itself is not the hard part. That is a well-understood optimization problem. What is not well-understood operationally is how you let a learned policy issue commands to a real asset in orbit without a human approving each one. And the architecture here is the answer they are proposing. The learned policy proposes a deterministic simulator running as an edge deployable twin, evaluates. In operator verification and validation layer disposes. Learned system on the inside, checkable system on the outside. Context arrived the same morning from a War on the Rocks interview with Shield AI's co-founder and president, who stated the company's central bet, plainly, that the pilot matters more than the airframe. This demonstration is a direct test of that. Attitude control, orbital mechanics, thermal, and power budgets. None of it has anything in common with fixed-wing flight. If the same autonomy core can issue nearly 200 accepted commands across a day in that environment, The claim that the pilot is the product gets considerably more credible. I would still want two numbers they did not publish: how many proposed commands the approval layer rejected, and how the system behaves when the twin and the real spacecraft disagree. So here is what Tuesday was about. Four stories, four layers underneath the models, and in every one of them, somebody has lost a degree of control they assumed they had, or is spending enormous effort to keep it. A tiny module that costs a few $100s slips a control regime built from machines that cost tens of millions. A registry that made itself essential by being neutral finds out that neutrality is not something you can sell. A chip company reaches the conclusion that owning the accelerator is no longer enough and starts building a landlord's business around the rack, and a small team in orbit demonstrates the opposite move, deliberately handing control to a learned policy, but only inside a cage they built first. That last one is the one I keep thinking about, because it is the only one where somebody wrote down what the boundary was before they needed it. There are 117 items in the full digest today, if you want the rest of the haul. I will be back tomorrow.